so that as we explore these scriptures and explore our own hearts and our beliefs, that you would transform us. God, I pray you would use the words and research I've prepared, and also those gentle nudgings in our hearts and in our conversations, so that in this time of listening to you, we might grow closer to understanding you, your will for our lives, and your will for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when somebody asks you, who are you? The first thing you might tell them is your name. Oh, I'm Wendy. I'm Wendy Komori Stager, or I'm Reverend Wendy. Shakespeare also asked, what's in a name? I get a lot of questions about my name. I have this long last name, Komori Stager, and when you say it on the phone, like people are like, I'm sorry, what? And then it gets confusing because they're like, well, is that filed under S? I'm like, no, it's filed under K, right? And then I have to tell the whole story, right? Which is that when Mark and I got married, I didn't want to lose my Japanese name, which was Komori, his last name, Stager. But he really wanted us when we got married, and I changed my name to have a unified sense of our family. And so we said, okay, well, what if we would be Komori Stager? So he changed his name too. So we are Wendy Komori Stager, Mark Komori Stager, and my child who got embarrassed, Sadie Komori Stager. When it came to name Sadie, we thought, oh my gosh, we have to give her a short first name because she's going to have this monster long, you know, last name. I have a middle name. It's Fukie. It's a Japanese name. It came from my mom's mom, who died when she was 12. I actually don't like my middle name very much because it's hard to pronounce. I don't really know what it means. And people who had guessed, they're like, your middle name's F. Was it Francis? Fanny? I'm like, you're never gonna guess. So most of the time I've been like Wendy F. Komori Stager. Oh, and it has no hyphen, because Mark didn't like the aesthetics of the hyphen. So it's the two-word last name, no hyphen. So, funny enough, the Komori part gets pronounced fairly well. They mess up the Stager part. Sometimes it's like Stager. I'm like, no, I'm not drunk, right? I'm not, it's Stager. So, but we get into lots of discussions about our names. Because each name holds a lot of story and a lot of heritage. So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to turn maybe around to somebody around you, preferably somebody who does not share your name already, and preferably somebody who did not arrive in the same car as you did. And tell them a little bit about your name, your nickname, where you got it, maybe its ethnic heritage, whatever, and then take some time to listen to them. Okay? Go. You all look almost done. Is that about right? What did you notice? It got everybody talking. Like, you can talk about your name. Do you feel like you know the person you were talking with a bit more? Because you, huh? Yeah. Say more.
A little bit.
A little bit, right? A little bit more, right? When you know a person's name and you've spoken and listened, you're building relationship. You're building connection with the other person. And you know them better, and they know you better. And even a bit of your family, because some of you have family names. You were named for a particular person. Some of you have nicknames, and you go, oh, that's where that came from. You know, Edie is not what your given name is. I'm taken. And there are reasons for all of that. I believe that we as human beings and the way God created us to be is hardwired for this sense of connection and belonging. But we're living with this paradoxical phenomenon in our information age. It's never been easier to be connected with any other person around the globe. You can Skype with a family member who's serving in the military at a base at the south of Africa. You can be in touch with a college student who's studying overseas in Europe. With not just your phone, but the visual thing, the Skype thing? That's amazing. However, in this technology age, it's also become a time of incredible disconnection. Ever call customer service because you needed help and you got a response like, you've reached Widget International Customer Service Center. May I please have your account number? And you're just one more cog in the wheel. And as our world population soars and there are more and more people, we get known by numbers. And it starts to feel like you could be unimportant, interchangeable with any other person there, and you kind of get blanketed over, right? Sometimes when somebody forgets your name, it hurts, especially when you think that they should know your name. Maybe somebody that you've been helping for a long time. I was at a church meeting once where I'd been serving as the pastor, and for 30 minutes, this guy called me Amy. Granted, Amy had been the previous pastor there, but, you know, when they're talking about, oh, yeah, it's like, hi, did you not get who I am? It's funny, but it also hurt. Like, have you not, do you know who I am? Because we want to be known. We want to be special. We want to be important. And I think that our scriptures today are saying you are important and you are precious in God's sight and you are known. Today's texts and looking at names are where people are exchanging names and building that relationship. It strikes me as more than just simple introductions. Moses meet God, God meet Moses, right? Jesus meet Peter, Peter meet Jesus. Because the names and those sharing of those names is about personal relationship and personal connection. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that we see in these scripture texts. In Exodus at the burning bush, God calls to Moses by name. He's chosen by God, personally and individually. And when Moses turns back around and says, well then, what's your name? God doesn't go, oh, sorry, you don't get to know my name. God says, I am who I am, which is kind of an odd and special name, and there's a whole nother sermon in there. I'm going to let Henry preach that someday. and he can deconstruct the Hebrew for that. But, you know, the closest translation we can even sort of grasp in our language is I am who I am, or sort of I will that I will be. And in the New Testament, as God's Son arrives into the world as a child, and the parents are instructed to give him a name, right? You give children names. And so they named the baby Jesus. Anybody remember what Jesus means? Emmanuel is God with us. So Jesus comes is related to the name Yeshua. Saved, yes. Related to rescue, to deliver. Right? Some of your names have meanings. Beloved of God, right? Dorothy, gift of God. Jesus' very name, as he is God incarnate here on earth, is deliverer. Yahweh is my help. Also, did you notice in the passage that Jesus didn't need to be introduced to Simon's brother? So these two guys are following Jesus, and Jesus turns around and says, "Ah, I know you. You're Simon. I know you already. You are Simon, son of John." So I think this Old Testament and this New Testament passage together is about these building of relationships that happens as you share names. It's an intimate caring. And sometimes we think about God's love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think we can feel like numbers too. God loves humanity. That's true. It's also true that God loves you, that God loves David, right? That God loves Linda. A good friend of mine in high school youth group, and we've been hearing stories about Jesus for a long time, she describes the day that she got it like this. "I always understood that God loved the world and God loved me. It just felt like this huge blanket of love that covered the whole world. Of course that love is there. But one day it hit me. I got it. I have my own personal blanket, a handmade quilt with my name on it. That is that wrapping of God's love around me." God knew her name, and she finally came to understand that she could have a personal relationship with the God who she knew God's name, but that God knew her name. And similarly, when God calls to ministry and calls to action, yes, there's a general, "Come, you all, come be disciples." But Moses gets called by name. God goes, I got a mission for you. It's harder to ignore when somebody's got your name. They have a little bit of power over you. Like, instead of, "Hey, you," right? It's like, "David, I need you to do this."
That's why I make it such a priority to learn my students' names quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, in the classroom, you gotta know the kids' names. You don't just say "classroom, quiet down." You're like, "Okay, Elizabeth." Hey, no, hey, yeah, "hey you" just gets right. You're like, "Oh my gosh, if you're a substitute teacher," right? Because you don't have that relationship. You don't have the relationship with the kids, and so you haven't built up that same sense of respect that they don't know you and you know them. Classrooms, too, there's that power differential. You know the kids' first names, but they call you Mr. Lawson, right? Or Mrs. Sexton, right? What we call each other matters. And I often wonder if we don't slow down enough to do that. Let me just close with that reminder that David already had given us, which is that we're celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday tomorrow. And part of what he talks about in his speech is not just seeing the black men, the black people as these people, right? But to say they're an individual too. They need and want the same things that each of us needs and wants. He has a dream, my dream that 4 children will live in a day where they're not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And this dream only comes out of hope, and a hope and a knowledge that because God has created us, individual human beings, that makes us brothers and sisters, And can we live in a world where we see one another as those brothers and sisters, uniquely named, uniquely loved, uniquely valued? That's a dream worth pursuing. Thanks be to God.
Please rise to join us in singing.